Welcome, dear listeners, to Between the Bubbles. I am Brayden.
And I am Darren.
And we have some big news today regarding the podcast and regarding what we're going to be doing here with it in the next few months. Because, as you know, listeners, we've been doing the 2.0 version of Between the Bubbles for the last 2 months or so. And frankly, how have you felt about it, Darren?
I felt burnt out. And I'm not even doing as
burnt
much work
out
as you are. And this is a funny thing, because we're both in grad school, and Brayden's getting his PhD and working two jobs on top of that. And I am in chiropractic school, which I'm doing 20-something credits this trimester.
Which is insane.
Which is insane, and that is, like all your time. And we're both feeling burnt out, but we didn't know that the other person was feeling burnt out, and so...
Because, you know, we didn't want to disappoint the other person.
No, and so last week I was talking to a friend, and was like, I don't know if I can keep doing this at this schedule. Like, I just am so tired, and the thing is, when you're... I mean, I was, like, rushing through the comic book to try and get them all.
And at some point, it stopped being fun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And here's the deal. We don't get paid for this. Although... We're just going to disclaimer right now. If anyone wants to sponsor us, if anyone wants to pay us to make this podcast, we'll go back to 5 days a week in an instant if we're getting paid for it.
Oh, for real?
But if we're not getting paid for it, it was taking too much effort and, you know, having to edit every single one of those audio files, having to upload it, having to edit the picture file with each post, having to write the posts, Darren having to man the Twitter and then promote every single one of these posts. It was
just trying to set up interviews and doing the interviews. Like, I love doing them, but it's just it was tiring.
Yeah.
Frankly, it was very, very tiring. And so I was going to talk to Brayden last week, and I thought, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to bring it up. Do I bring it up before we record the podcast, and then if it doesn't go well, then it's like a crappy recording of the podcast? Do I do it afterwards? Like, let's have a good podcast. Oh, by the way, Brayden, I had no idea, but I thought, you know what, as soon as I see him, because I went up, did I go up on a Friday night? No, I came up Saturday morning.
You came up Saturday morning.
Saturday morning. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to do it around and get there. And I was terrified. I was honestly terrified because I didn't know how it was going to go, and I just felt awful. And thank goodness, lo and behold, Brayden felt the same way.
Yeah, and I hadn't talked to him either because I was nervous. But the important thing is, here's what's going to happen. We're going to come back to one episode a week again. We're not going to follow the set structure that we've been using. Basically, every so often we're going to be talking about the books that we read. Like today, we'll talk about what we read last week. In other weeks, you know, next week we're going to have a special episode where we review a movie. 2 weeks after that, a week after that, we're going to have another one of those, simply because we're traveling for Thanksgiving, so it's going to be hard to do a normal episode, normal one of our new episodes. Yeah, it's like fancy, fancy. Anyway,
but no matter what, there'll always be an episode a week.
There'll be at least one episode every week.
So if we interview someone, that's the episode.
The week. And so then the next time we talk, well, I mean, when we talk next, we'll have 3 weeks worth of comics that we can riff off of. And basically what we're going to do, we're not going to do the big reviews anymore with the Adore It, the Explore It, the Ignore It, which, I mean, again, conceptually it works great, but we just gotta reinvent this, baby.
Yeah, well, and to write the notes, because there's sometimes I didn't have time to write notes, because that time when
those were the times when I could tell, like, when I wouldn't write the notes, those were when I did the poorest on the podcast.
Oh, well, because I remember I was forgetting names like Bucky Barnes, just because I was so exhausted and I didn't write it down because I didn't have
time. You were too busy thinking about spines.
Yeah, spines and passing my board exams, which I did pass them, by the way.
Yay!
But it was crazy, and I just remember thinking, I can't keep doing this, and I sound like an idiot when I forget Bucky Barnes is the Winter Soldier, or just... Like, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I forgot Shredder. I remember I was just so exhausted. I'm like, who's the spiky bad guy? Like, what's his name? Yeah. I grew up on this cartoon. I can't remember because I'm so exhausted. So, we just both feel that this is the best route. And
but again, if you guys want to pay us to do it the other way, we'll do it the other way.
Oh, definitely.
We try. I've tried to find sponsors. It's not as easy as you'd think. Especially because apparently every comic book site now has their own podcast. Because we were hoping to maybe, like, buddy up with another comic book site, but oh well.
No, and the thing as well is that we started this as a hobby. Like, we just love talking about comic books, so we just want to do a podcast. And we thought, oh, maybe it could go somewhere. And then we realized, we just, look, if our life schedule is different, maybe, but it's just right now, it's...
Yeah, so this is the Reinvented Podcast. We're going to talk about what we read. We're going to talk about some news, but nothing, like, big. It's just going to be like us chatting, so... Come hang out in the Grape Escape with us.
Yes, yes. And
that's basically what's going
to
happen.
And this is the thing. We want to make sure and make it clear that we still love doing the podcast.
Oh, boy, do we ever.
We would
just stop entirely.
Yeah, exactly. But
it's nice to get together and just chat. I mean, Darren and I are like best friends, so yeah. We just like to get together and talk about comics.
And the thing is, we love the support from listeners. We have some writers following us. Or even if they don't follow us.
We know they've listened, commented.
And it's been an amazing experience. And so
shout out to some of those awesome people. Yeah. Sean Murphy's listened. Kelly Sue DeConnick follows us. Brian Wood has listened.
Eric Burnham for Ghostbusters.
Eric Burnham has listened.
Dark Horse Comics.
Scotty Young.
Yeah, Dark Horse Comics. They retweeted our review of Alabaster Wolves. Mm-hmm. And it's just been...
So thanks for the support.
It's been awesome.
We'll keep around, you know. We're gonna keep bugging you guys on the Twitter and things like that, so you won't be sick. We won't be rid of us, but we'll just reimagine ourselves. I don't know what we're gonna call it yet. I'll think of something before I post it online. Whether it's version 3.0 or just I don't know. Need to worry about it.
I don't know.
So what'd you read this week, man?
Well, let's talk about because there's three. I thought you know what. I read a lot of... Well, not a lot.
Just give us a list of everything you read.
I read a list of everything. I read of DC, Animal Man, Swamp Thing, The Rot World, Action Comics. I read Green Lantern, Earth 2. And then with Marvel's Daredevil, End of Days. And then, of course, the Iron Man, Marvel Now, number one. And then I read Shadow Man. And I also... And this will kind of segue into what I want to talk about when it comes to... Because I want to focus on three comics that I really loved. Well, two of them I loved, one that I couldn't stand. I love Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire right now. I have huge writer crushes on them.
With good reason.
Yeah, exactly.
They do really good work, both of them.
And so I thought, because I've never read Scott Snyder's creator-owned stuff. I've only read Batman and Swamp Thing.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, you know what? I really want to try it, because I've explored into more Jeff Lemire with Essex County and with...
Underwater Welder.
And I want to get now Sweet Tooth that's going to be done soon. I really want to try get those volumes. I have them on my wish list with Amazon. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go pick up American Vampire Volume 1. And all I can say is, wow. American Vampire Volume 1.
Beautiful to look at. Rafael Albuquerque is super talented.
And he lives in Brazil, which is kind of cool. Like with modern technology that you can actually use... talent from other parts of the world.
That's true of lots of like current comic artists.
Yeah.
Dexter Soy lives in the Philippines. Ed Benes, who does Batgirl, he lives in Portugal.
Oh, does he?
Emma Rios, who did the last two issues of Captain Marvel. And guess what? Ooh, news. You know how Kelly Sue DeConnick is doing a creator-owned Image book in 2012?
Yes.
Emma Rios is on the art, baby!
Is she?
Oh, you know Pretty Deadly is going on my pull list.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
But yeah, she's from Spain.
I was going to guess Spain.
So, you know, there's... I think
well,
that
even,
it's interesting.
Andy Diggle and Grant Morrison, they live in the UK.
In the UK, yeah.
And so...
I think it's interesting. For example, like, apparently Gail Simone has never actually spoken face-to-face with Ed Benes.
Never?
They've never spoken because Ed is embarrassed of how bad his English is.
Really?
So he'll only talk to her over text.
Really?
Or like over written word.
Well... They are pulling something magical together because I think his art is the best that's been on Batgirl with
Batgirl.
The
yeah, Batgirl works great.
So I decided to read American Vampire with Scott Snyder, and it is. I'll just let me preface with something. I love vampires.
Yes, you do.
I love vampires, but it's hard to find a good vampire story. And there's a majority of vampire stories that I don't like.
Most of them are bad. It's just like zombies. I love the concept of zombies. I will watch any zombie movie in the world, but I also am well aware that 95% of them suck.
Oh, because if you... This is the thing is, vampires have gone into it's more just really more about sex. And then you have the blood and gore. And if you ever...
And hey, it can work good. Like Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles books. Dude, those are permeated with sexual tension. But it works so well.
But a lot of the times, let's just get some nudity on here, let's get some blood on here, and then we'll make a vampire movie.
And that's stupid.
Oh, it is. Well, and then Twilight and that whole thing. But if
don't even get me started.
Yeah, if you read Bram Stoker's Dracula, what is it really about? Dracula was a Turkish warlord who wants to raise up an army, and he made a, I don't remember if he made a deal with the devil, but he did something where he could live forever and be immortal, and so he's a vampire to suck the people's blood, to turn them into vampires to then grow his army more, and to have this immortal, terrifying way to conquer, and there are a little bit of sexual tension, but not a lot. And you'll see with American Vampire, what is the main focus of it? It's not about sex. It is about these vampires from England, or not from England, but from Europe, who are aristocrats who are now in America. And the first character, I can't remember his name. There's Pearl Jones, the female. Yeah, let's see here.
Hand you the book.
Skinner Sweet, there we go. Skinner Sweet, he's in the 1800s. He's the first American vampire. As a result, he is very, very different. He can walk in sunlight, and he has different powers and whatnot.
Interesting.
And then Pearl Jones is, if you now fast forward 40-something years in the 1920s.
She's like a flapper.
Yeah, she is an actress who basically the vampires use as a way to feed, and she's still alive. So what happens is Skinner Sweet turns her to a vampire, like another American vampire, and she gets revenge on them, whatnot. The cool thing is it is a great... It goes back to the roots of why vampires are great. It's more about them, just how scary they are. It's not about sex. It's not about the stupid relationships and whatever. These two people, Skinner and Pearl, are out for vengeance against the vampires. And it's
interesting.
Just, and it also plays into how America was at those times. In the 1800s in the Wild West, in Los Angeles in the 1920s. And then, you've been following the American Vampire, you know that it deals with the 1930s and World War II and blah, blah, blah. And I think right now it's 1950. So it's a social satire on America, on the good and the bad of America, but also drawing into making vampires horrifying all over again. In Volume 1, Stephen King is the author for the origin of Skinner Sweet, and he does a great job as well. And it's just beautiful writing by Scott Snyder. It's mm-hmm. a horror comic, and I think anyone who is interested in horror comics, who loves the concept of vampires, but you're jaded right now, go read American Vampire. You won't be sad at all. It is. I'll say I'm going to give an adore it. Like, I want to get caught up with this series, and so thank goodness for the holidays.
Hopefully, getting some money from the parentals.
Exactly, I can get some stuff, but it. To segue what I've read right now with Animal Man, Jeff Lemire, and Swamp Thing with Scott Snyder, issue 14.
You just love those two.
I really do. And
they were good issues. I didn't pick them up. As I mentioned previously, I cut down my pull list quite a bit, and I'm down to only 4 DC titles. Batman, Batwoman, Wonder Woman, and Batman Incorporated. That's it. So,
but you'll cut down on even more once Batman Incorporated is done. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then it'll be just down to Batman, Wonder Woman, and Batman. And if any of them start sucking, I will drop them immediately.
Yeah.
But as of right now, they're all great. But anyway, I read these two because Darren was like, you should read them before we talk about them. They're pretty awesome.
Oh, well, Swamp Thing just turns into this huge beast, and he just kicks total butt.
And nothing better than watching little Superboy, rot Superboy, get smushed by Swamp Thing's
foot. Oh, the big old foot. And then the thing with Animal Man, this is what I loved. Who are the dead characters that Animal Man is fighting in the beginning?
Deathstroke.
Deathstroke, Grifter.
And Grifter.
And I think is Savage Hawkman one of them too?
He've had him last issue.
Oh, that's right. So, who wrote those characters?
Those are all Liefeld joints.
Those are all Liefeld. So I think this is my theory. It's Jeff Lemire saying, you know what, Rob Liefeld? You know, remember how you said that the only reason people are buying Batman is because it's Batman, not because of Scott Snyder, and how, rightfully so, offended Scott Snyder was? I think this Jeff Lemire sticking up for his friend and saying, you know what, Rob Liefeld?
Screw you. And we say the same thing. Screw him.
Yeah, so I'm definitely following these series, and I'm not going to stop following them after Rob World. Like, as I said,
you're gonna stick
Snyder
with them.
Jeff Lemire. And I was not an Animal Man or a Swamp Thing fan before New 52.
I converted Brayden, you and converted then I gave me, up on them.
And I won't, because I absolutely love them.
It's because... Here's the thing. As we get going on here and retooling the podcast, I'm going to drop more and more of the books that have, like, expected characters, and I really want to make my contribution to the podcast and what I read to be about women characters.
Yep.
So that's what I'm picking up in Marvel
what's
Now.
What's the big news? The big news that came out.
Oh, there's lots of Marvel Now news because February has two books coming out. The two that they've announced so far. One of which is, and it is in fact a offshoot of The Fearless by Cullen Bunn. It's called The Fearless Defenders. And so far, it's going to be an all-female team that builds over the course of the first few arcs, but it's going to start Valkyrie, Misty Knight.
See, I'm not too familiar with Valkyrie or Misty Knight.
Misty Knight was in Heroes for Hire with Iron Fist and Power Man.
Oh!
So she's like a street level.
Yeah,
like,
that's cool.
And she's got an awesome fro. Tell you that right now. Misty Knight always has an awesome fro.
So she's African-American.
She is. And then Valkyrie is one of the few remaining Asgardians. She's awesome.
Oh, so it's the Valkyrie.
It's the Valkyrie. In Marvel Comics, the Valkyrie, like what we call the Valkyrie, like the hordes of them, are called the Valkyrian. And Valkyrie is the one, like, the leader
she
of them all.
She reminds me, or the Valkyrians remind me of the Amazons in DC.
Kind of, except she's like a Lady Thor.
Yeah.
Because Sif is kind of like Thor, but Sif is Sif. Valkyrie is like a Lady Thor. She's pretty awesome.
But they, I mean, it's just all women, though, aren't they, the Valkyrie?
In the Valkyrian, yeah.
Yeah, that's what reminds me of the Amazons.
And that's why
all
she's...
All women warriors.
And that's what the premise of this book is, Valkyrie is building, essentially, a new Valkyrian. She's getting a new group of people together,
oh,
which means they all
really?
Need to be women.
Wow.
And Misty Knight's the first one. And Cullen Bunn says he has 5 or 6 down the pipeline that you'll all be excited to see, but he can't tell you yet. So that's February. Also in February, Uncanny X-Men, which spins exactly out of one of the ones I want to bring up while we're talking today, AVX Consequences number 5.
Okay, I heard mixed stuff about this.
The art wasn't great.
That's what I heard. And who did the art?
The art was by Gabriel Hernandez-Walta. The art was so different than the other ones. It looks a lot... In fact, in terms of the facial features, it looks a lot like Riley Rossmo's art.
I'm not familiar with Riley Rossmo.
He did Debris.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he is also doing Bedlam. But, like, if you just look, for example, at Hope's face in a lot of these, Hope looks just like the girl from Debris.
Yeah, but she looks... I can see what the art was kind of...
Yeah, or look at this picture of Magneto and Magic and Danger all three together.
Yeah, that's the...
It doesn't
Magneto
fit.
Looks like a little teenager with gray
eyebrows. It does
eyebrows.
Not fit with the...
Not a teenager, I'd say like a young 20-year-old.
It in art-wise, it doesn't fit with the rest
of
the series.
But the cover's cool.
The cover was done by someone else. The cover was done by Salvador La Roca and David Curiel. So yeah, art-wise, it doesn't fit with the rest of the series at all. But thematically... Gillen shows us why AVX mattered on the X side of things. Because we've talked about, like, and I think a lot of people have talked about, what exactly did AVX do that makes Marvel Now important, other than let's shuffle up who's writing what and who's drawing what. Like, BFD, guys, you could have done that without your big crossover.
Exactly.
But here's where the crossover matters. On the Avengers side of things,
not
that big. I mean, you got your Uncanny Avengers now, but whatever. The important thing is what has happened to the X books. Tell me a little bit. You've watched the X-Men comics or the X-Men cartoon show from the 90s.
Uh huh.
Characterize for me Cyclops from the 90s cartoon.
90s cartoon.
90s cartoon Cyclops. Who is he?
Okay, now, he's the leader.
He's
one.
The leader.
And he's like the Leonardo of the X-Men.
He is. That's a good way to put him. He's the Leonardo of the X-Men. So he's the one who.
Very faithful to Xavier.
Faithful.
Does always
he
wants
is,
to be play by the rules.
And he wants to stick by the rules. He wants to
both wear blue. I'm just kidding.
He wants to make the world a better place by his
yes.
actions.
Yes.
And he ultimately is the straight arrow of all the X-Men. Tell me about Wolverine in the 90s series.
Wolverine in the 90s series is the wild card. You never know what to get. He's the rule breaker. He's going rogue. He has a good heart. He wants to do the right thing, but he wants to do it his way, and he wants to do it by his rules, if that makes sense. And if he feels like... Because even if Cyclops thinks deep down Professor X is wrong, he'll do it anyway because he's loyal to Professor X.
Uh-huh.
Wolverine will say, you're wrong, I'm going to do it my way anyway, and
uh-huh.
go out and do his own thing. And sometimes that worked as an advantage, sometimes it caused problems, but that is Wolverine in the 90s cartoon. Which it seems like in the comics, and maybe this is where you're going, those roles have definitely flip-flopped.
That's exactly what has happened, and that is what is explicitly shown in this final issue of AVX Consequences. Like I said, if AVX didn't work for you, if you liked it but you were like, Consequences has made AVX relevant to me. It has really made AVX a worthwhile miniseries. This is the note that Cyclops leaves for Wolverine as he is broken out of the prison by Magneto, Danger, and magic. Logan, you're angry now, but I hope in time you'll understand. The school has my best wishes and complete support. Because remember, at this point, this has been a gradual growth and in Wolverine's character. Wolverine runs a school now. Wolverine is the headmaster of the Jean Grey School, which is essentially Xavier's school back in the 90s cartoon, how Xavier's school was to bring all of the young mutants together and to keep them safe, to train them on their powers, and to basically, you know, help out all of those mutants. That is what the Jean Grey school is, and that's what Wolverine does. The book Wolverine and the X-Men is all about that. So it's a relatively recent thing that's happened in the last year.
Does it take place in the same location?
It's in New England. I don't know that it's the same place as Xavier's school, but it's somewhere in New
England. And Wolverine started it, did he not? The
Jean Grey school? Oh, this is his school.
That's his baby.
This is his project. Because they essentially split into these two factions, the Cyclops X-Men and the Wolverine X-Men. And the Cyclops X-Men were on Utopia, down on the coast of San Francisco, and Wolverine was out in the East Coast, up New England, where the Xavier School had been. So that's what he's talking about, the school, meaning the Jean Grey School that Wolverine started. Kitty Pryde works there. Husk used to work there. I guess she's leaving. Iceman works there. A lot of my favorite X-Men were on the Wolverine side of things, not the Cyclops side of things. Anyway, he says,
well, that's good.
The school has my best wishes and complete support. I have every faith you will teach the children in the spirit of Xavier and prepare them for the better world to come. I will keep them alive. You urged me to be the better man. I'd like to be that. I honestly would. But when you're being the better man, I don't need to be. Instead, I can be the man who does what's necessary.
You know what you see? You know what you're seeing? A new Magneto and new Professor X. That's what you're seeing.
Yeah, but would you, 5 years ago,
not even three years ago,
that the new Magneto is freaking Cyclops?
No.
And that the new head, like the new leader of mutantdom, is gonna be freaking Wolverine?
Well, see, it would make sense that Wolverine would be, because what caused Magneto, and I'm guessing it's the same way in the comics, I'm just going based off the movies here, because Raiden's more the Marvel guy, more the DC guy.
Are you talking about the
concentration camps?
Holocaust? Yes.
Okay, so and with Wolverine having his whole experience in the military and just being used as a weapon, Weapon X, blah, 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 you'd expect him to be the one.
Mm-hmm.
And Cyclops grew up, it seems like,
he was more affluent.
Yeah, his dad was what's the guy's name? The one who was flying around in space, and Cyclops' dad.
I don't know.
Oh, I just remember, he's something to do with a Kree or something.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Weird, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know it from Marvel Ultimate Alliance and the cartoon, and
interesting, I'll I didn't
Google
know that
right now. But
anyway,
but yeah, I mean, he grew up from a more, I mean, he didn't know his dad, but
I just think it's an interesting,
normal.
It's an interesting turning it all on its head. Because, now granted, I don't know that Wolverine is going to become necessarily the Xavier, because I think that's going to be falling to Rogue.
Oh.
I think Rogue is essentially going to become the leader of the mutant kind.
I love
of
Rogue.
Mutant-kind.
I really, from the cartoon and the movies, I love Rogue.
I like Rogue a lot too, and I think that's where we're headed. But this ends essentially with Cyclops teaming up with Magic and Magneto to go and be some sort of X team.
Here's the dad. Corsair.
Crosshair?
Corsair. C-O-R-S-A-I-R.
Oh, Corsair, yeah.
Corsair, yeah. He's the leader of... His name's Christopher Summers, but he is the Star... What is it? Starjammers? Yeah, Starjammers and the Shi'ar. That's what it was.
I have no idea what any of those things are.
I don't either.
Because I don't know. I really hate most of the cosmic stuff in the Marvel Universe. I don't care about the Kree. I don't care about the Skrulls.
I remember you fight the Shi'ar on Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1. And then he's one of the people that helps you out and whatnot.
Interesting.
So that's the only
way. Anyway, I just think that, and this is all in light of what came out on Friday, the news that the other big book that's coming out in Marvel now in February,
written by Brian Michael Bendis,
is Uncanny X-Men, and the main team is Magneto, Magic, led by Cyclops. So those are our two factions of X-Men. And so I think it's going to be interesting. We were talking about what we're going to be picking up in Marvel now, and I feel like all new X-Men and Uncanny X-Men are going to be sister books. Because if you've read the previews for what's coming up this week in all new X-Men, they take the 60s X-Men to the future essentially to stop Cyclops. Because they think Cyclops is headed towards the extinction of the planet.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why Beast goes back in time to get little baby Cyclops and little baby Beast and little baby Iceman and all those other guys. And so I think it's to hope that
they will resonate with the present Cyclops.
I hope so. I think so.
Like bring back this was your ideal.
Yeah.
And this is what you wanted.
And now you're letting Wolverine be the better man.
Yeah.
Wolverine. He's Canadian. Just kidding, Canadians. I love you. My wife's half one of you. / we're gonna get a Canadian citizenship, because why not? And then we'll move to Canada and it'll be fun.
Are you really moving to Canada?
Maybe.
If
I can get a job up there, why not?
Why not?
We like Canada.
It's beautiful.
Anyway,
more like Europe.
This is true. But that, more than anything, is what AVX is. AVX has reimagined the entire X line. Because you're gonna have the all new X-Men come into the future. You're gonna have Cyclops as a bad guy. You've still got Wolverine leading the Wolverine school. You've got, in X-Men Legacy, we're going to be focusing on Quentin Quire and Rogue. So, it's going to be really
very different. Here's my debate, because I'm not a huge X-Men guy. I'm really not.
I never really have been either.
So, the whole premise sounds interesting. Do I? Because I have on my pull list.
You have all new X-Men on the pull.
Oh, I do. And now knowing this whole thing of, because I'll talk about later, I did not like Iron Man 1, and I'll explain why in a couple minutes when we're done with this, but I've been disappointed with Marvel Now so far.
That's because you're picking up the boring stuff. You should have picked up Red She-Hulk.
I did pick up Red She-Hulk.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I thought it was good, but I'm like, I'm not going to keep following it. But, so, I was like, well,
she was awesome.
Yeah, she was. She was great. There's other stuff I'd rather read.
I understand. You know? You're the DC guy.
Yeah, I am. So, do I stay with new X-Men and get the Uncanny X-Men? Because it is cool that they're both, if they interact together.
They will.
That would be great.
And one of the variant covers for all new X-Men is Cyclops and the Uncanny X-Men team.
Oh, that would be cool.
Here's the variant. It's right here in the back. It's Cyclops and his Uncanny X-Men team.
There you go.
But that's the variant cover for all new X-Men.
So
there's three variant covers for all new X-Men. There's the one that's the middle one. That's the regular cover of the 60s X-Men. There's one over here with like Rogue and Wolverine. This is on the left side. And on the right side, there's the one with Cyclops and everybody else. So it's to show that here's the great divide between mutants, and here we are from the 60s trying to fix things.
Yeah, and so I'm really curious to see how it play out.
We'll see how you feel about the first couple books, because Bendis is good when he's good. When he's on, like in End of Days, which we'll talk about maybe
and
later.
And Spider-Man, and
Ultimate Spider-Man never has a bad issue. I mean, I've read all 17 issues so far of Miles Morales' run. Hasn't been a bad one since.
Yeah. So
it's always good. So he can be consistently good. But Avengers was from okay to good. It wasn't always good. Sometimes it was just like, it's an Avengers book. So the question is, are we gonna get great Bendis or are we gonna get okay Bendis?
I don't know. But so if I don't like the first couple of issues of All New X-Men, but do I keep it just to see how Uncanny X-Men is? That's the big debate. We'll see. Because it depends on how many Marvel Now titles I have, because I see myself keeping Fantastic Four because Matt Fraction.
Yeah, that comes out Wednesday. I'm excited to see what happens. It's on my pull, so I should have a copy.
I'm not sure about I'm going to keep. I'm really not.
It's gorgeous looking.
Yeah.
Asad Rebeek is doing great art.
And Jason Aaron, I didn't like his initial run on Hulk. Towards the end, I love that second issue, that story arc. But the first one and the third one were good, but...
Yeah.
I'm guessing I'm going to love Avengers Assemble with Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
An indestructible Hulk, because you love Mark Waid.
Yeah. Well, I love Mark Waid with Kingdom Come and Daredevil, but I haven't... I mean, we both didn't like Rocketeer.
We're the only Marco people in the world who didn't like Rocketeer.
Yeah, and there's something else I read, too. It's like, I'm not sure how I feel about this. So, I'm hoping, because the Hulk is my favorite Marvel character,
I think
he's just big and green and destroys stuff.
I think it could be good.
I think it could be, too.
But keep in mind, we'll Avengers Assemble has your Hulk in it, so if you need your Hulk fix, you can get it from Kelly
Sue. So, here's the thing is, if I have a lot of titles that I'm reading from the Marvel now, I'll probably drop it, because X-Men really is not my... They're not my thing. They're really not. I love the X-Men 2 movie, but that's the only really X-Men thing that I love right now.
No, I'm with you there. The only X-Men book I buy, obviously, is Extreme X-Men, and for one reason, Dazzler, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll be buying Uncanny X-Force because Psylocke, Storm, and Spiral, and Puck.
Sign you up.
I love Puck.
But let's talk about Iron Man.
Iron Man. Let's talk some Marvel Now stuff.
Marvel Now stuff.
Because I know you didn't like it.
No, I did not. This is the thing. Marvel Now, and I was saying this with Uncanny X-Men, or Uncanny Avengers, sorry. Marvel Now promotes it. That's a way for new readers or readers who have lapsed to get into Marvel and get all caught up to speed.
But I don't know how well that's working.
It's not. It's not, because even Iron Man deals with a lot of backstory, a lot of back characters. It is another story arc that's just now started by Gillen. So, being new to Iron Man, because I read some of Matt Fraction's stuff, but I've realized I don't like Tony Stark. I'm not a Tony Stark Iron Man fan. Yeah. Love the movie, but why? Because Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. makes Tony Stark endearing.
And the person on the page can't necessarily capture you the way that Robert Downey Jr.'s portrayal can in the film.
No, exactly. So, it was just very much, it deals with the extremist virus, which, and the weapon, which obviously it's going to be because the new movie coming out deals heavily with extremists, so they want to get new readers or lapsed readers interested, I think, with the whole extremist thing.
If they're
following the movie news. But it's just a lot of the internal dialogue, and it's very expository, and the artwork. I'm sorry, but the artwork by Land was...
You're not a big Greg Land fan.
No, it was bad. Like, just the faces and the smiles look really goofy, and I just
didn't like
it.
For you?
I dropped it off my pull list immediately
after I read it. That's the
important
thing, is that if you don't like it, drop it.
Yeah.
Because that's what Marvel Now is all about. If you can't cook me in a first issue, I'm done.
Yeah, really, that's exactly how it is, yeah.
And I hate to be that picky, but...
With everything else,
because I was not that way about... I'll be honest, I was not that way about DC. There's a lot of things I bought the first two or three arcs of that... Were they to come out this week, and I bought the first issue, I'd have been like, eh, screw you, Batwing.
But if it would have been reversed, if the new 52 is after Marvel Now happened first... I think both of us would have tried a couple issues, even for story arcs we didn't like.
I think we would have given it at least an arc worth.
But because we now know the new 52, like, you know, if it's not good, it's not going to get better.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, learn my lesson.
Except for, okay, I just got to say something real quick. Multiversity, yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with that website. I usually like them, but guys, you are so full of crap when it comes to World's Finest. World's Finest sucks.
Oh, did they spell
bad.
That's amazing?
No, they said that it's gotten gradually better until it's a great book, and I'm like, no, that book blows so much.
Everyone
chunk.
Says how bad it is.
I don't know who is reading it for Multiversity, but they are not... They're not reading the same book I'm reading, because I freaking hated that book. And I tried, because I love Power Girl. Because, I'll be honest, I'll give some Marvel Now titles more chance than I would otherwise. I mean, because like you said, Red She-Hulk was great, was good, but it wasn't great. I put it on the pull list. I'll see through the first of this arc. But if it was anybody, if it wasn't a cool character that I already really liked who gave me that first book, I would have been like, meh.
It depends on the writer, too. Like, because it's Matt Fraction... I'm going to give Fantastic Four a couple issues.
Me too. I'm going to give both Fantastic Four and FF a couple issues.
And because it's Mark Waid, I'm going to give Indestructible Hulk a couple issues.
Yeah, and because I like the artists on both Fantastic Four and FF as well, because Mark Bagley is extremely talented, and Mike Allred's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to give them at least an arc, both those books. I'm going to give Uncanny X-Force an arc, but...
Like Uncanny Avengers... I'm going to buy the second issue because it's on my pull list and I feel
I
bad backing out, but I'm not
I don't
gonna,
have it on my pull, so I'm not going to bother.
I'm going to drop it after that.
I think it'll be an interesting... it might be a book worth coming back to once Remender gets his feet.
Grasp on it? Yeah. But it ties in so heavily to Avengers vs. X-Men.
Yeah. You know what I'm most nervous about?
What?
Cap. I want Remender's Cap book to be good.
Me too, because I love Captain America.
It's the only one of the main four that's on my poll. I kept it on my poll, but I really want it to be good.
But even if that one's not good, I'm probably not going to...
I don't think I will either, because I'm buying too many other things.
Exactly.
And this is where we're at, guys. I might drop Captain America on my pull list. My
Captain
number one
America.
Favorite Marvel superhero of all time. So it better be good. Fingers crossed, Remender.
Winter Soldier, I'm dropping after Ed Brubaker's gone.
You and me both.
Because I feel like Talon is the DC equivalent of Winter Soldier, and I really
and you're
like
buying
James,
Talon.
And
so
I really like James Tynion the fourth.
By all means.
You know, so.
I will replace that with Uncanny X-Force. So
I really feel like, because we were both kind of venting about DC getting rid of continuity with the New 52, but the more I'm seeing Marvel now, the more I'm like, you know what?
Maybe that made sense.
It made sense, but at least they stuck to their guns and they weren't lying to consumers.
Yeah.
Like, it really is a new origin, whatever. Marvel now is just a bunch of fluff with what they're
saying. Yeah, we'll see how it all shakes out.
I really do think
I'm curious to see how we'll feel in 6 months.
We'll see. But I feel like, don't tell everyone it's a great jumping on point.
So far you've bought three and none of them have really impressed you.
No. Not as jumping on points, because even Red She-Hulk had a lot of back continuity.
A ton.
That's my complaint. It's not that they're bad or good in quality. It's don't tell new readers or lapsed readers that it's a good jumping on point, because it's going to be very easy to jump on.
Unless it's going to be one.
Unless it is. And none of them have so far.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. Well, let's talk about Daredevil End of
what
Days.
Else? I should give a list of what I bought. So yeah. I bought AVX Consequences number 5. I bought Daredevil End of Days number 2.
Which was amazing. Cool. Oh, gosh.
This is Bendis at his best. His whole run on Daredevil is iconic. It's one of those, like, Daredevil runs that you read in the trade and you're just like, dang, this was coming out every month and you guys had to wait a month for it? It's like how we feel about the Mark Waid one now.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way Bendis's run is when you read it in the trade.
How many trade paperbacks is it?
Oh, it's a ton. He wrote it for like 4 or 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot. But I'll give you some suggestions later on. I bought Freelancers, which I'll talk about in a second. Willow Wonderland from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I was kind of bored by.
Really? That's too bad.
I was bored. It was on my pull list.
You had a
week.
Bad week. Let's just be
I
honest.
I did. Earth 2 was...
Awful.
No, it's not awful. It's just that James Robinson needs to learn how to shut the heck up.
Yeah.
And let Nicola's art do the talking.
Breathe. Let it breathe. Let it explain what's going on.
Because Nicola's art can do all the talking, but he never lets it because he's so expository. Well, and that's why I'm done with this book. Is I love Nicola Scott's art. It is gorgeous to look at.
And we love that Green Lantern's gay.
It's one of my favorite looking books in the New 52 in terms of the way that she draws it, because she's extremely talented. But good gravy James Robinson, just let the images speak for themselves.
Well, this is why I love Jeff Lemire, and I think it works because Jeff Lemire is an artist that he will let.
He knows how to let the art speak for itself. Yep. There are plenty of times when you don't need exposition. And that's my biggest complaint with Earth 2, is James Robinson just doesn't know how to shut his trap and let the art speak for him. Like... Do we really need Kendra saying, oof, you're heavy?
No.
You can see it in her face and in the strain
and the
that she's making.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't need, oof, you're heavy. You know, it's just...
Yeah, I'm dropping.
It's too bad, because I love Nicola Scott's art, and I love the idea of Earth 2, but bye, guys. Then let's see what else did I get. Avenging Spider-Man, which I also dropped, because I said I was going to, but I was like, I'll buy this one last issue, because it was on the pull list, and it was... Devil Dinosaur and Moon Boy, which I know there are people who have soft spots in their hearts for Devil Dinosaur and Moon Boy. I'm not one of them. So even though this is number one of a two-part thing, nope, dropped it. And I got Stumptown, issue 3. This was very much a third of a 4 issues. It'll work much better as a part of a whole once issue 4 comes out. Because it was just an okay issue. It's probably going to be the weakest of the arc. And then Harvest number 4, which was super solid, and I'm sad there's only one more book in it. But this book takes too much out of me. It's
draining. In a good way?
Yeah, so I'm glad that it's only going to be one. But anyway, it's a good book.
I got Green Lantern, another great thing with Rise of the Third Army. I really loved it. I really did. And look, Simon Baz, great Green Lantern. And
you love him.
I do. And there's a great thing with The Flash where they found out that... The Green Lantern ring only leaves the Green Lantern when someone dies.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked, like, who died, and of course Simon didn't know, and of course Flash goes, I hope it was Guy Gardner. I'm still going to hell for that. Like, it was just a great thing.
That's a
and then,
good
of
line.
Course, Simon, like, I can't beat any of you up. You're Superman. You're Wonder Woman. But Batman I can beat up. And Batman's like, oh, you're so Green Lantern. It was just great. Jeff Johns did a solid thing. Earth 2, you know how I felt. Daredevil, End of Days, you know how
that's
I felt.
That's the title of this episode. You're so Green Lantern.
You're so Green Lantern, yeah. And then Shadow Man number 1, Valiant. I really liked it. I didn't love it, but I'm going to give it a couple issues to see how I feel.
It
could be the only Valiant title I actually keep on my pull list.
Well, there you go.
Maybe, because I'm really getting into the whole dark mythical, like with Justice League Dark and
and Animal Man and Swamp
Thing
and all that kind of stuff.
And that's what Shadow Man is, voodoo stuff. So I'm gonna see how it plays out.
Tentative.
Yeah, I'm tentative, but it was good. But
so talk about Action Comics. Let's end talking about Action Comics.
Action Comics.
Because you had a better week than me. You had a lot of things you loved, and I was like, nah.
Yeah. Action Comics, this was the Superman issue that I feel like this is Grant Morrison really capturing who Superman is.
Because I know it's been a hot and cold book. Sometimes really good, and sometimes you've been like, really?
Yeah. But that's Grant Morrison for you. And then when it all comes together, you're like, I don't care about those issues that are okay, because the overall story is so good.
I hope that's true. Batman Inc.
Yeah.
Bring it together, guys. I just want that book to be good, but I can't handle reading it in the freaking floppies every month.
Oh, I love it.
I should have just waited and bought the paper, or should have bought the hardcover in 2 years when it came out.
Because even the Batman Inc. with the Volume 1, you know there's some issues that are okay. In the overall story, it was awesome.
Yeah.
The artwork by Rags Morales was... That's the one thing I complain about this series is Rags.
You don't really like Morales' art.
I love it in Identity Crisis. But
it's not working as well here.
No, I feel like he's phoning in it like, let's see if I can find a face. There's a face of Superman that's just kind of... Well, look at that right there.
Derp.
Where he gets hit in the face with that wrecking ball.
Derp.
He looks
bizarre. Like he's 5.
Exactly. And there's other things like that. But it captures Superman in the sense where, look, he's coming in, he's giving people hope, and
I do have a question.
Yeah.
Is he back to being Clark Kent yet in this book? Or is he still being... Joseph General Jungle.
Oh, you know, it happened a couple issues ago. I think he's back. You know, he's back to Clark Kent.
Okay, that's all I was curious. So he wasn't dead for very long.
No.
Come on.
Because he wrecked, like, this is the thing. Well, no, I liked it, though, because he was looking around and just seeing how he missed his friends. He missed being Clark Kent. And because Barry Allen's still dead in The Flash right now. But Clark Kent, and it made me love Superman even more, because it's like, humans
dead?
Barry Allen said, but Flash is alive.
Oh, he let Barry Allen die?
Well,
like the concept of Barry Allen?
Yeah. People think Barry Allen's dead.
Interesting.
So, we'll see.
Seems like...
It was done well, though.
Was it? Because it seems like a pretty, like, trite storyline to pull out in your first year. Can't think of anything better than kill your guy in the first year?
Yeah, but it made sense.
Okay. I mean, I'll take your word for it.
Because Flash was gone for a couple months when he was in the Speed Force. And so he's just like, you know what, he's dead, and I need to pretend. Patty Spivot hates the Flash, so he wanted to tell her who he's dating. He wanted to tell her, like, I'm the Flash, but then he recognized, like, oh, she hates him. And it's probably better that for her and everyone else to not think that Barry Allen's dead. So we'll see how it plays out. But I liked it. But Clark Kent missed his friends, and he missed just that having that life and not just being this alien that protects people. So I liked it. But this issue 14. The Legion, all these angels, was awesome to see. To see how he inspires people to do good and what makes Superman great was great to see. But this is the thing. What is the best way to attack Superman is to make him feel like that he fails, not on a fighting villain level or the strength, but failing people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to get the Superman, to make him realize that he can't protect everybody, because he feels like he should be able to because of his powers. And what happens is the villain, the little small guy that you've been seeing throughout all the stories, all the issues, not the stories, because it's one big story, but all the issues, finally is revealed that, look, you, I think it's like getting at his dad. I don't know what happened.
Is it Mr. Mixelpick?
I think...
Please tell me it's Mr. Mixelpick.
Well, he's from another dimension. And his name is not that, but it's very similar.
Does he wear a bowler hat?
No.
Ah!
No. His name is Well, okay, I think it might be, because Superman says Vindzikh, or
let me see.
I can't read it, but it's just a bunch of consonants right there. He says it's not you, is it? But then
That's not Mr. Mixel.
No, it's not, but I'm wondering if Grant Morrison's reimagining him.
How can you lose that name, though?
No, but because he didn't actually respond that it was him or not. He didn't respond. Superman just said, is it you? Whatever that thing is.
Huh.
So I think it is Mr. Missile Pickle, whatever, I can never say his name right.
Me neither.
But I think it is him. I think it's just Grant Morrison reimagining him. But I think he'll still have the name, because he has not said, he didn't confirm to Superman that that's my name when Superman guessed the other name with a bunch of random consonants.
Muy interesante.
But yeah, so what happens though, is now he's saying, look, I've been planting villains around you. I've been conspiring against you. And the people that Superman is trying to protect on Mars. Spoiler, 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 spoiler. They all die.
Oh, no.
And what makes Superman feel like he's a failure when people he's protecting die? And they're saying, you promised you'd protect us. You promised you'd help us. And they're just melting. So it was just one of those things like, this is what I was looking for in Grant Morrison's Superman. And it really captured it right here. And the other thing as well is you find out that Superman's dad fought the Legion on Krypton and protected Krypton, but he didn't have any powers because he was a red sun. It wasn't a yellow sun. So Superman obviously as well had to feel like, if my dad can do it with no powers, then I can do it. And he fails. I mean, this is a great Superman failing story. And it's what makes Superman great, and it's a great way to write Superman.
How did you like the backup story with Neil deGrasse Tyson showing Superman the explosion of Krypton?
I thought it was great. I really love the Shally Fish backups. I really do.
It's a shame that you disliked his...
There's one like Krypton, or Crypto, there's one with the parent...
It's a shame that you disliked his annual so much.
But I don't think it was his fault. I think, honestly, it was the editors saying, well, this is the story we want, and I think it was that.
Could be.
And it could be just better short stuff. I don't know.
I just love that Neil deGrasse Tyson got to be in comic books, so
yeah.
Props to you.
Yeah, so I loved Action Comics, but that's my...
It was a good week for
and
you.
The biggest news, I was going to say this when I was talking about Jeff Lemire and Scott Snyder. The biggest news, Jeff Lemire doing Green Arrow. Starting.
That's right, I forgot about that. That's big news.
I was going to say when I was giving my man love...
He's taking it over.
But
you don't like Green Arrow.
I don't like
Green
Arrow.
You're gonna buy it anyway.
But I like the show right now, and oh my!
You're gonna buy it anyway.
Because what do we talk about? We haven't posted the features episode yet, have we?
No.
Maybe it'll be by the time people read or hear this. But we talked about how you follow writers.
Yeah.
Not so much characters. So I'm gonna follow the writer, and I'm gonna get Green Arrow.
As well, you should.
I'm probably gonna love it because it's Jeff Lemire.
He's probably gonna do a good job with it.
Probably.
Oh, did you hear this big news?
No.
They've announced a writer for Star Wars Episode 7.
The guy... Oh, yeah, who was it? It was,
It's the guy who wrote Toy Story 3
yes!
and Little Miss Sunshine.
Yes!
Little Miss Sunshine is one of my favorite movies in the world.
All you Disney doubters out there,
shut your pie holes.
It is Disney.
And, more importantly, Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher
and Harrison Ford
have all said, sure, we'll come back.
Why wouldn't you?
Write the right movie and we'll come back.
See, this is what... I'm surprised
that
Harrison Ford...
Kids, if I see the Millennium Falcon again on the screen...
I'm going to pee my pants.
That is all that matters. The Millennium Falcon is the only thing that matters in all of sci-fi universe. I like lots of ships, but there is no ship like the Millennium Falcon.
You know how
Falcon.
They got inspired from the Millennium Falcon? They went out to lunch and they're talking about just stuff with Star Wars... And they had a hard time doing concept art for Millennium Falcon. And what they do, they look down their burger, like, wow, there's a burger with an olive to the side. That'd make a great spaceship. And that's how they designed the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, I just love that ship so much.
The little cockpit is the olive.
I just love that little ship so much. So, if you could see a rust bucket Millennium Falcon driven by a 70-year-old Han Solo,
tell me you don't
want to see that.
Well, and Harrison Ford did not like Han Solo. He didn't really care for Star Wars. He wanted Han Solo to die in Return of the Jedi. But look, his career is kind of, not as great as it used to be. So I'm very happy.
And I thought that he would never come back because he did not like Crystal Skull. He thought that was a bad movie.
As he should.
So I thought he was going to be done with Lucas altogether. But maybe now that Lucas isn't around, he'll be like, sure.
Disney?
Bring me back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's big news.
Oh, it It's amazing.
It's very big news.
So, anyway.
Anyway, that's our episode for this week. Hopefully now, you by all means, and listen to Little Matthew's review of X-Men.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be reading the new Uncanny X-Men. He'll stick to the 60s version.
Probably right.
Probably a little too violent for a little 4-year-old.
I personally hope that you enjoy because we're literally sitting around the table just talking.
Yeah, let us know what you think of the new format. Let us know if there's something you specifically miss from the old format.
Because we're kind of still figuring out how we want to do this.
Yeah, this was basically a trial run for how we want to do it now. Just basically talking little by little about the good stuff and the bad stuff we read. Freelancers. What a waste of my dollar. We'll talk about it another time. Anyway, that's our episode for this week. And we should still end with our classic old catchphrase, so take us out, Dan.
Well, until next time, everyone, and dear podcast listeners, happy reading.
My name is Matthew. Today we read issue number 7.
And what did Cyclops do in this issue?
Iceman first.
Okay. What did Iceman do in this issue?
He saved us for his buddies.
Nice. How about Beast? What did he do?
He did nothing.
How about Cyclops?
He shoot a beam.
And what about, what did the Blob do?
He did nothing too.
Magneto?
Nah, the Blob.
And what did Magneto do then?
He shoot those things that the Blob got killed with.
The Blob got killed?
Oh.
Tell us, Matthew. Was this a good comic?
Yes.
What was your favorite part?
When they defeated every one of the bad guys.
How did they defeat the bad guys?
Well, the bad guys defeated themselves.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
Magneto shooted beams that Bob got shooted with. And he almost died.
Uh-huh.
But he got smoked. And the bad guys were in this magnetic machine that Magneto could move.
Between the Bubbles is a production of Almost Midnight Media and is released under a share and share alike Creative Commons license. We would like to thank the F***ed Up Beat for the bumper music, and this was recorded in the Grape Escape, and that's all I have to say.